How about it, race fans? It's Richard Allen here of InsideCircleTrack.com and InsideDirtRacing.com coming at you with another edition of Rich's Ramblings. And today, the topic's going to be the NASCAR All-Star Race, which is coming up on Wednesday night at Bristol Motor Speedway, paying out $1 million to whoever comes out of that final segment as the winner. So it ought to be a really great show. I'm sure that a lot of excitement will take place. As you know, Bristol Motor Speedway kind of lends itself to excitement anyway with its half-mile high bank shape, and I don't see why this would be any different. When you put $1 million on the line and nobody has to worry about points, why worry about running over somebody, which they don't seem to worry too much about that when there are points on the line. So I don't know why this would be any different from that. So this race coming up is going to have some interesting twists to it that hasn't been the norm in previous All-Star races. And first of all, it's at Bristol Motor Speedway, which the traditional home has always been at Charlotte Motor Speedway because of COVID-19 restrictions in the Charlotte or in the area or North Carolina in general. They've moved it to Bristol this year, and who knows, you know, I think we're learning a lot this year about things that maybe we've been married to that we didn't really need to be married to. And always having the All-Star race at Charlotte might have been one of those things. I know it's easier for the teams to have it at Charlotte because it's right there. You know, most of their shops are not very far away, so they can get to it quickly and get back home quickly, and it's not another long weekend on the road. But who knows? This thing might be so popular held at Bristol that they might decide to either move it around or just move it to Bristol altogether. You know, in 2021, supposedly the NASCAR Cup Series is going to have a number of schedule changes coming up, and this could be one of them. We don't know really what's going to come out of that, but several new aspects about how the race is actually going to play out or how the cars are going to look and all that I just kind of wanted to talk about. And first of all, this race will feature something called a choose cone, which if you've never seen something like this, it's used at some short tracks, primarily probably most noteworthy at Bowman Gray Stadium over in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And what happens, and I don't think NASCAR is going to actually do it this way. I don't think there's going to be a physical cone on the track. But a cone is placed out there, at least like Bowman Gray. And as the cars are coming to take the one-to-go signal, restarting from a caution or restarting a segment or something like that, the drivers choose, do they want to restart on the inside lane or the outside lane? And at Bowman Gray, you know, everybody wants to be on the bottom. So everybody chooses, the first couple or three guys will probably choose the bottom. But if nobody else has chosen the outside lane and you want to choose that, you could move up 2, 3, 4 rows depending on what everybody else is picking. So as these guys come to one to go on the restarts on Wednesday night, who knows if the outside groove is the preferred lane, which a lot of times at Bristol it is. You might have the first couple of guys or three guys choose that outside lane. Somebody might say, I'm going to go for it down on the bottom. So the choose cone ought to make it real exciting. Like I said, if you've never been to Bowman Gray Stadium or you've never seen a place where they use that, it adds an element of drama and an element of strategy into something as, you know, commonplace as a ordinary restart. So I'm anxious to see how that plays out. And if it plays out well, I think we could possibly see it used more often in points-paying races. Goodness knows they could have used it at Kentucky this past Sunday. They could have used a lot of things at Kentucky to liven that race up. So you never know at a place like Michigan or a Pocono or Martinsville or whatever for that matter. Putting a choose cone out there or just indicating a spot on the track where drivers have to choose, do they want to be on the inside lane to restart or the outside lane? And if the lane you're choosing is open and you can cruise all the way up to the front row, if that's the case, even if it means you get to pass 3 or 4 cars. So I'm anxious to see this play out, and I've seen it before on short tracks, and I'm looking forward to seeing it here and potentially, who knows, maybe seeing it in more NASCAR Cup Series races. But that'll be one element, the choose cone, to watch for. Another thing, it's coming up. You know, I know there's a lot of things in the world going on right now that's worthy of being upset about. I cannot for the life of me see why people are so upset about where the number is going to be on the car. And I'm you know, I consider myself to be somewhat of a traditionalist. I mean, heck, for that matter, I'm a history teacher, so I'm used to living in the past. But where the number is on the car is, you know, there are things that are worth keeping you up at night, I guess, and you worry, but that's not one of them. I don't care where they put the number. Heck, I watch a lot of races, and, you know, and dirt track races, there's no telling where the number might be. They use one-digit numbers, two-digit numbers, three-digit numbers, numbers with letters attached to them, and all that. None of that matters. You know, the racing is what matters. I just can't see why people are getting so bent out of shape about this. You know, it's one thing to be upset about politics or religion or something like that, but to be upset about where the number is on a race car, I mean, come on. And if it means more exposure, more value to the sponsor, I mean, to me, that's a no-brainer. If there's something that a sponsor say, hey, that looks better to us, we'll advertise our product on the side of that car rather than, you know, kind of an obscure placement somewhere where it might barely be noticed, then by all means, you can get more teams with more sponsors, because as expensive as racing is, you need as many sponsors as you can. If this is something that might help a team lure a new sponsor in, then so be it. But if you haven't seen the number on the sides of the car is going to be slid back about, I don't know, a foot or foot and a half from where it normally is. You know, normally it's right there kind of even with the driver on the driver's side door. Now it's going to be just right in front of the left front and the right front wheel, with more space opened up. There are a number of pictures on the internet of the various schemes of what the cars are going to look like in this particular case. So it's just going to be a new look. And again, I think they're floating this out there for the potential of saying this could be what our cars look like in the future. I mean, I watch a lot of Formula One races. You have to have almost bionic eyes to spot the number on those cars. And, you know, you're guaranteed that there are going to be two cars in every race that look exactly alike, because every team has two cars and they're all painted identically. And you have to really have, like I said, an eagle eye to be able to spot the number anyway. So this is still, the number's clearly visible. Who cares if it's pushed back a foot or two? I mean, Dale Earnhardt Jr. on his podcast always likes to talk about, you know, there's a hill that I'm willing to die on or a hill that I'm not willing to die on. If you're so upset about where the number is on a race car, you're willing to die on that hill, then God bless you. But it's not something that's going to matter to me all that much. Another thing that we're going to see that's going to be different this time around, the cars will have underglow lights on them. So it just, you know, again, this is one of those things I think some people are bothered by it. Again, who cares? I tune in to watch a race. I don't tune in to watch the underglow lights of a car, but I'm 52 years old. Maybe if this is something that might cause a younger person to feel like, hey, that's cool, I'm going to give it a look, then who knows, you might wind up having a new fan. And I can tell you this, I go to a lot of races every year. I typically go to 50 or 60 races a year, some of them on dirt, some of them on pavement, some of them NASCAR sanctioned, some of them not, but many of them not. And when I look around the grandstands and I look around the pit areas of racetracks, there are a whole lot more people that are my age and older than there are the ages of my kids. And that is not a good sign. And if little gimmicks like this, and it's purely a gimmick, but if a little gimmick like this will get a 16-year-old to watch a race and say, that looks cool, I want to see that, I'd like to have that on my own car, and they watch this all-star race and see these guys bumping and banging for $1 million, then they might want to tune in to the next one, or the next one after that, or the next one after that. So what's wrong with this? Again, you know, again, it's not something I want. I drive an old beat-up truck. I'm not going to put underglow lights on it. But I'm a teacher at a high school, and I teach a lot of kids who have stuff like that on their cars. And if this is something that makes NASCAR more appealing to that crowd, then all power to them as far as I'm concerned. If it causes somebody to say, hey, look, you know, Alex Bowman's car has got under glow lights just like the ones I've got on my car, and that kid decides he wants to be an Alex Bowman fan or whomever, then that works for me. And it might cause that kid to buy a ticket, or it might cause that kid to tune in to Fox or NBC to watch these races that haven't been tuned in before. And like I said, when I go to racetracks, there are far too many people that are at my age or older, and not nearly enough that are the ages of my kids. And we need more younger fans. And if this is one of those things that lures those younger fans in, then I'm all for it. I have no problem with it, and I don't care if the car has an underglow light on it or not. The only thing that would bother me about this is if the quality of the racing suffers because the team's having to spend time in the garage area making sure their lights are glowing the right color rather than working on the setup of their car. That would be the only thing that would be bothersome to me. But as long as it's not interfering with the racing itself, I don't care what the number is. I don't care if the underside of the car glows. None of that. But if that works for somebody else, a sponsor, a young kid who wants to watch racing for the first time, if it works for them, then it works for me. So, like I said, there are a lot of things in this world right now to be upset about. If you're spending your time being upset about that, I mean, come on. Find something else to worry about if you feel like you have to worry about something. But I'm looking forward to it. I think the All-Star race, I haven't always been a big fan of the All-Star race, but this year is a different year for a million reasons. And I'm looking forward to it just to kind of break up the monotony. We're having a lot of races over a short period of time now, which I'm all for. But, they're all points paying races, and they all kind of play out the same no matter what track they're on. You get something a little bit different here. It just matters who wins. Nothing else matters. There's no such thing as a good points day in an all-star race. So let them get out there and have at it. I guess the only thing you'd have to worry about is you might make somebody so mad in this thing that it might come back to haunt you if you're fighting for a championship later in the season, which along with that, there is a piece on InsideCircleTrack.com that addresses that very thing. Is it worth making an enemy, a season-long enemy, over winning $1 million? And that's something that every driver is going to have to decide, especially when they go into that final segment on Wednesday night at Bristol. But I hope you enjoy the race. I appreciate you taking the time to give us a listen. Just make sure and keep checking out InsideCircleTrack.com. And if you're a dirt racing fan, certainly check out InsideDirtRacing.com. That's probably where most of our focus is throughout the year. So hopefully you'll check out both of those sites. And you have been, based on the numbers that we're seeing that we get. And we really appreciate that. Again, this is Richard Allen, InsideCircleTrack.com and InsideDirtRacing.com. Thanking you for taking the time to give me a listen.